the east and have come to worship him. Well, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now when Herod called the Magi, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, y'all go on and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report back to me so that I may also come and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. And then it was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping in her children for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I tried to figure out where in that story to stop, but I think we needed to hear it all again. I mean, after all, we only get to that part of the Bible probably this time of year. But listen to these words again. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother and Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their presents and their treasures and gave him them the gifts that they had brought them, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Christmas time can bring out very different reactions from different people, very different emotions. For many, it's a time of joy and of giving, and perhaps the joy is in the giving. It's a time of parties and hearing from people that we haven't heard from for a very long time. It's a very special time of year. But for others, Christmas is a time of sadness, loneliness, depression, despair. A survey a few years ago asked people if they were looking forward to Christmas. Well, the good news was that most answered yes. But the bad news is that far too many said no. And when these were followed up with, they asked questions why they gave the answer no. And we got responses that sound like this: Christmas reminds us of things that ought to be, but are not. Christmas is a time of love, but we feel very unloved. Or Christmas is a time of giving, but we don't want to give, or we can't afford to give. Christmas is a family time, but there is anger and hostility within our family, or we don't have a family. Christmas is a time of peace and goodwill, but too many of us are at war with ourselves.
and with others, and we're not at peace with God.
Now, the first Christmas wasn't a happy time for King Herod. We hear these words in Matthew. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. Now, that is not from a happy person. He presents a very negative side to the Christmas story. Everything else seems positive. Here are the shepherds and wise men. We have angels who sing their joy. There's the miracle of birth, the joy of God's love, the radiance of His light. But in the midst of the whole Christmas story, there is one negative person and one negative reaction. You see, Herod sees the birth of Jesus as a threat to himself, a curse. In horror, we wonder how anyone could react that way to a baby's birth. Well, I think the first reason seems to be that Herod was so wrapped up in himself that nobody else really mattered. When Herod looked in his mirror, what did he see? Well, he saw a king. He saw a king with power and prestige and wealth. He saw a king who wore designer robes and a crown. A king who held a scepter in his hand, who was seated upon a royal throne. Now, according to all the standards of the world, Herod was an immensely successful king. But he was also very insecure. Why? How can you be so insecure with all that he had going for him? Well, the answer, of course, was given by Jesus long ago. If you lay up your treasures only on this earth, it won't last very long. Moths eat it, or it rots away, or thieves break in and steal. It's yours for a moment, and then it slips from your grasp. So here's Herod, the forerunner of all the Scrooges and Grinches of Christmas, saying, "Bah, humbug," as he thinks about the Christ child and gets upset because of the threat to all of his treasures right here. Another problem with earthly treasure is that it never satisfies. It always cries out for more. It wants more, and then this wants more of that. We're like the man who approached God and asked, "Lord, up there in heaven, how much time is a million years?" Well, God said, "A million years is but a second in heaven." Well, Lord, up there in heaven, how much money is $1 million? Well, God said, $1 million is only a penny in heaven. "Great," said the man, the wheels turning in his head. And he went back to the Lord in his prayer and he said, "God, can you give me one of your pennies?" And he heard God say, "Okay, in a second." Well, Herod was like that man. Herod always wanted more power, more prestige. And so when he heard that a king had been born, even though that new king was a helpless baby, he felt threatened because he was absorbed by the things of this world. Fortunately, God doesn't measure us by the standards of the world. But God says, "I love you so much that I sent my only son into the world to live with you and to talk with you and to walk with you and finally to die for you. You are my children and I love you." Herod's heart had become so hardened that he couldn't respond to others. Every time I read this scripture, I find myself wondering, how could anyone do what Herod did? How could anyone issue an order to murder innocent children? And the only answer is that Herod was so calloused by his sin, so wrapped up in himself that he didn't care about others anymore. And sin does that to us. If you continue in your sin, then each time it just gets easier to sin. Oh, we know, we classify our sins, don't we? We classify them so that it will not make us feel as bad. We speak of little sins
And of course, then there are those greater sins. But you know, I don't think God does that. Herod started out with little lies and little acts of dishonesty, and soon it was easy for him to issue the decree, murder innocent children. There was no tinge of guilt, nor tears of remorse, no repentance in his heart because sin had calloused and hardened him. No longer was there any sensitivity in his life that would respond to the working of God's Holy Spirit.
Well, Christmas is a time of joy as well as despair.
Christmas is a time of memories for most of us. We remember our homes as a child, times with our parents and family. I remember little gifts that communicated love and acceptance. I remember moments of inspiration during Christmas programs. I remember songs that moved me and caused a tingle to go up and down my spine. I remember being sensitive to God. Well, but years have come and gone, and it's been easy for us to get so involved in the world and become less and less sensitive to God. So Christmas comes and we're not even sure what it means to us anymore. We are becoming calloused. But Christmas comes as a light in a darkened world, and it helps us to see how unloving we have become. Christmas helps us see how insensitive that we have become to God's Spirit. It shows us how ungiving and greedy we have really been.
It shows us how we really, really are.
God doesn't want to punish anybody. He'll ultimately have to, of course, but He is anxious, so anxious to forgive. It was a family treasure. That golden vase, the priceless vase. It had belonged to this little girl's great-grandmother and her grandmother and now to her mother. And the vase sat high on the mantle, so it was out of reach of little fingers.
However, I managed to reach it, she said. I climbed to reach it,
and I broke it. I broke the family treasure. And then I began to cry in loud sobs that brought my mother running. I could hardly get it out. I broke the vase. I broke the treasure. And as I squinted through my tears, she said, I saw a look of relief on my mother's face. And she said, oh, I thought you had been hurt. And she hugged me and made it very clear that I was her precious treasure. You see, the message of Christmas is that God is our Father, a forgiving Father who stands ready and anxious to take us to Himself because we are His treasure, created in His image and loved by His Son. Herod had never learned that the only satisfying way to live is to live a life of love. He had been taught that the only way to live was to exercise power, to rule over others, to manipulate lives, to control situations, to always be in charge. If anything gets in your way, then take care of it, take it out, even if it means chopping off the heads of baby boys. You take care of whatever gets in your way. But Jesus came saying, that's not the way at all. The way to live successfully is to live a life of love.
33 years later, there was a great showdown in the streets of Jerusalem. Over here were the soldiers of Rome with their swords and their spears and their armor.
Beside them were the aristocracy of the Jewish Sanhedrin. They were also grand and powerful, taking up arms against one man. And together they nail him to the cross and watch him die.
We can almost hear their voices even today.
Take down his body and bury it. Put it in a tomb, roll a stone in front of it, seal it with the insignia of Rome, and put guards on it. And then we can say, we've won. Might is right.
Power has triumphed. But has it?
Here's the joy of Christmas. Nearly 2,000 years have come and gone. Today, the soldiers of Rome are gone. The Sanhedrin has passed away. But the love of God still stands. And the voice of a baby still says that the only way to live is to live a life of love. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the joy of our life. Well, I know that there are empty lives. I know that there are hurts and pains. We all have them. But you see, Christmas comes to help us deal with those things. A little hand reaches out of the manger and says, grab hold. I'll lead you to the throne. I'll lead you to the Father. I'll lead you to the one who is anxious to show you the way of life if you only follow me. The Savior invites this morning. He offers his life and his blood for your sins, and he waits to see if you will accept his great gift. I pray that you will accept it with all the joy that comes from knowing Christ as your Savior. Whatever your circumstances, you can experience despair, or you can know God's love and experience the joy that comes from sharing that love with others. Joy or despair, it's for you to choose. Choose Him. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us choose you. And then as we have made that commitment to you, help us to choose to be your instruments in the world. Instruments that go about sharing your love with all that we meet. Make us fountains splashing love on everywhere we go. We thank you for the joy of Christmas. The joy of being in love with you and knowing that you love us. So as we know that joy, help us share it with others. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.